Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to set forth his praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation. And so, that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship God, let us kneel in silence and with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Amen. Open our lips. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in rulers, nor in any child of earth, for there is no help in them. When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heavens and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever, who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. He sustains the orphan and widow. He frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The prophet Isaiah. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear, here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with horrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the book of James. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has God not chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich that oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You should not commit murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. He said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for saying that you may go, the demon has left your daughter. So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. When he returned from the region of Tyre and went to the Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis, they brought him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in the private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to them, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not sure whether Robert has told you what a lay preacher is, but this is what one looks like. The diocese is in the process of training and licensing lay people to share their words and their faith in relation to the gospel. It's a relatively long training period, but I'm excited about it. Our diocese has been chosen out of many dioceses to be one of seven where the national church is focusing on lay ministries and particularly lay preaching. It's not just the priests who have Jesus with them. That's the end of my lecture. Now comes the homily, which is in here. Hold on just a sec. This morning, we meet Mark halfway through his gospel. According to the story so far, Jesus' ministry appears to be well established in Galilee. Mark says Jesus has called 12 disciples to preach the good news that the kingdom of God is near. Wherever he goes, he's followed by crowds of people seeking his healing touch and power to cast out demons. In the previous chapter, Jesus has just brought a young girl out of death into new life as a symbol of the new life he is bringing to Israel. By now, the Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem are tracking and challenging him. He's clearly becoming a threat to the status quo. And then Jesus goes home to Nazareth, expecting a warm reception. It does not go well. "Who do you think you are?" the hometown folks said. "Joseph's son, what could you possibly tell us about Holy Scripture?" When he preached, his words evaporated into thin air because his listeners could not get over the fact that he was the carpenter's kid. So they missed seeing that he was also God's kid. Today, Mark tells us Jesus is on the move with the bitter taste of rejection in his mouth and a desire to hear from God ASAP. Something like our prayers when things go wrong. "Please, God, where are you in this terrifying place?" Mark is eager to tell us where God is. He begins by telling us that Jesus knew that God sent him to the lost sheep of Israel to inspire them to return to the core of the faith delivered by Moses. Mark is eager to tell us, I'm sorry, I said that. It was a beautiful partnership. Jesus would preach a sermon with God's truth hidden like a fishing lure inside his story. Then he dangled the bait in front of the listeners. Those who experienced discovery met God inside the parable, and the Holy Spirit opened the gates of the kingdom of God. But the hometown folk, so intent were they on remembering little Jesus playing in the backyard with their kids, missed the lure. Before we explore what happened next, remember that faithful Jews of the first century were hyper-focused on keeping the faith pure. To ensure their own purity, rabbis developed thousands of rules for all Jews to obey to avoid sin. These complicated rules warped the true meaning of the faith. Anyone outside this culture was considered unclean. Women, who, by the way, were chattel property and had no rights to anything, were in particular unclean and therefore not allowed to speak to a man. Gentiles, considered savage dogs, were also unclean. Contact with either required an onerous regimen of religious cleansing. Despite the hurt of rejection, Jesus put one foot in front of the other, away from Nazareth toward Tyre and Sidon, two Mediterranean fishing villages, once part of Phoenicia, preaching the good news of God's love and nearness of the kingdom. There, no one knew him as the carpenter's son. Enter the pesky woman, as Mark calls her. Traveling incognito along the road to Tyre and Sidon, Jesus and some of his followers were accosted by a woman who threw herself at his feet, begging him to heal her daughter, who was infested with demons. The disciples tried to shoo her away, and Jesus said, wait, let us hear her out. This is no idle encounter dug up from the dustbin of legend. It's recorded in both the Gospels of Mark and Matthew. In spite of the spotlight on it, the point is easily missed. One, a Gentile woman spoke to Jesus and he listened. Number two, the Gentile woman argued with Jesus. Number three, the Gentile woman won the argument. Number four, the Gentile encounter changed the direction of Jesus' ministry. We just heard this dialogue as it's translated in our Bibles as follows. Jesus, you know I cannot heal your daughter. My mission is to feed the children of Israel. Woman, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. And Jesus says, for saying that, you may go. Your daughter is healed. What? These words bring up for me the image of a pack of snarling dogs fighting for food under a Jewish table, and this nagging Gentile woman is one of the dogs demanding healing for her daughter as the price for her to go away. And Jesus gives in. Not a warm and fuzzy confrontation. So why did Jesus heal the daughter? Is that translation what it really, really means? Well, not according to my favorite theologian, William Barclay. The translation you just heard is not quite exact. Gentiles, often referred to in the Bible as dogs, and said with the same snarl and curl of the lip if today we said bitch. In those days, because there were no spoons and forks to eat with, people ate with their bare hands. When finished, they wiped their hands on slabs of bread on the table, especially for this purpose, and then threw the bread to the floor to their little pet household lapdogs. That is the meaning of the word both the pesky woman and Jesus used and is found no other place in the Bible. Lots of dogs references, none little pet household lapdogs. Now listen to the conversation with what Barclay suggests is the actual meaning. Pesky woman. Sir, even the little pet household lapdogs eat the children's crumbs. And can you not see the flicker of a smile on her face as she slips in the distinction between savage beasts and lovable little pets similar to the lost sheep of Israel? And so Jesus, catching her cleverness, returns the smile, saying, because you put it that way, you may go. The demons have left your daughter. The light bulb goes off in Jesus' head. He knows that through the mouth of a worthless, unclean woman, God has spoken. His vision clears. What was unclean, worthless, other to his flock is instead welcome and embraced in the heart of the loving God who is his and our Father. There is nothing other in the good news. His flock was not limited to those born into Judaism. There are no others. The kingdom is open to all who have the desire to seek and listen. His ministry has no boundaries, then or now. This is a sea change in Jesus' ministry. But there's more, because I figured if that's what happened in that first part of the reading, the second part of the reading has some red flags. There's more. In case we didn't see it in the first story, Jesus and his followers turn around back toward the Sea of Galilee. And according to Mark, Jesus comes upon a man who's been deaf since birth and therefore has a speech impediment. In great detail, Mark describes exactly how he heals this man. It seems a fitting thing for Jesus to do, but in my years of study, I have learned that Jesus heals for one reason alone, to show the glory of God. With the words of the pesky Gentile woman still ringing in his ears, God speaks to Jesus in a particularly personal way. Up until now, he himself was deaf to the enormity of God's call and was unable to speak to a worldwide audience waiting to hear the good news. He proves now that God's kingdom is not confined to a self-selected group who believed they alone were the keepers of God's love and attention. In the flash of the healing of the man unable to speak and hear, Jesus himself is now listening and able to speak to all of the good news. He was unmuzzled through the incredible glory of God. It's always refreshing to find God hiding in the parables and the stories, but what has this to do with us who live with things like COVID, Afghanistan, Haiti, water shortages, rising costs, global warming, racial and political differences, approaching old age, and mall shootings? But those healing stories tell us that there is no one outside God's love. God loves and has use for us all, wherever or in whatever condition we find ourselves. Called to be God's hands, feet, and brains in this world, we are called to hear and see. Jesus, without honor in his own hometown, puts one foot in front of the other and sets out for parts unknown. And on that journey, he discovers God waiting for him in two people labeled other, an unclean misfit Gentile woman and a deaf and dumb outcast. In each encounter, Jesus makes himself present to the other and in them recognizes the faces of God. This breakthrough revelation enriches God's world beyond measure, changes the course of human history and our own history. Are we called to do any less? Who is other for you? To whom are you deaf? What is God saying to you through them? Amen.
Was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again at the right hand of the Father. And come again in the flesh of the living and the dead, and his kingdom of the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the God of earth, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please stand or kneel as we pray for the whole church and for the world.
God, enlighten the church for its mission.
Breathe the fresh life into your people. Awaken us in us a sense of wonder for the earth and all that is in it. Give grace to all whose lives are linked with ours, especially Tessa, Thomas, Christina, Karina, Jim, Russ, Chuck, JR, Pat, John, Gail, Priscilla, Greg, Cindy, Joycey, Marianne, Kelly, Barry, Pete, Kat, Somerset, Xavier, Paula, Margaret, Susie, Jacqueline, John, and Jenny, Anka, and Ginger, Kelly, Zach, Steve, Kyle, Richard, Bonnie, Valerie, and Letitia. God of hope and comfort, restore all who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Who do you pray for? Let us give thanks for the blessings of this life. We remember with thanksgiving those who have died in the faith of Christ and those whose faith is known to you alone.
Almighty God, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Tuesday at the 6:30 Eucharist, there's going to be a public service of remembrance and healing before the anniversary of 9/11.
He's preparing everybody for smoke for that service, too.
I'm sorry?
There's going to be incense at that service, too.
Oh, Gretchen wants everybody to know that there's going to be incense at that service. And next Sunday, Perry Scruggs will be here to preside and preach at the Eucharist.
I hear
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, to join you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, in the assault of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretch out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. Thank you for setting us the tasks which demand our best efforts, leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word, and for the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience, by which overcame temptation, for his dying through overcame death, and for the rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him at all times and in all places may give thanks to you in all things. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Hey, dog.